This is Jackson Peterson, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Humboldt, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning. Farm news here on the Red River Farm Network, direct from Denver and Commodity Classic. This is Don Wick along with Tyler Donaldson. We'll also hear from Randy Conan and Jamie Dickerman with news as well. Our coverage from Commodity Classic, made possible by the Minnesota Soybean Growers Association, Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. With the uncertainty seen in Congress, Minnesota Soybean Growers Association Treasurer Rose Wendinger sees the Farm Bill as a moving target.
There's hope that they'll get something moving on, but they're not going to do it unless it's the right bill. And I think everyone's idea of what that right bill is still out there, so hopefully they can come together in the next few months.
Wendinger has spent time on Capitol Hill. She sees conservation programs as an important component of the next farm bill.
Minnesota farmers especially, we have always been concentrated on being good stewards of the land and purposely taking care of conservation, and we want to make sure that on DC that they know that and that they recognize that, and they let us do to the land practices that make sense for our areas and our soil types.
Some of those conservation equip funds and such have been frozen at this point, probably. We'll see what happens. Your thought on where we're at that whole process?
It's always a moving target. The Farm Bill is out there, but as farmers, we're going to make sure that we're taking care of the land, and those conservation programs are important, but ultimately, like, we're still going to make those decisions on our farm level, and bringing it up to the federal level, making sure that they understand that and how valuable those programs are for Minnesota and regional soybean farmers is important.
With more from Commodity Classic, here's farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson.
Thanks, Don. I'm speaking with U.S. Soy Export Council's new chair, Jana Fritz. Jana, what are some of the priorities for USEC here in 2025?
So I think the continuation of our strategic plan, honestly, Tyler, is the continuation of attaining market access. There are countries around the world that we simply don't ship soybeans to today. We want to attain that market access for as many countries as we can to move the pile of soybeans off of the U.S. shores. We want to elevate preference. We want to talk about how soy is superior in quality and reliability compared to other areas of origination. And again, that differentiation of why would you be looking at the U.S. soy system. We have the resources, we have the education, we have the networks, and we have the boots on the ground through USEC to create these relationships and create that preference for U.S. soy purchases around the world.
What are your goals here now as the new chair?
One of the biggest goals, I think, is our continuation of the many collaborations that we have. But as I referenced our founding class, we have ASA and USB, where we collaborate all the time within our soy family. However, we also work routinely, obviously, with USDA, FAS, Foreign Ag Service. We work with partnerships like the Specialty Soy and Grains Alliance. They work specifically with IP soybeans going around the globe. We work with the U.S. Grains Council. They are the corn, sorghum, and barley international marketing entity. But we, as agricultural professionals and organizations, we have the opportunity to collaborate on many, many things. We also work with the U.S. Meat Export Federation and the USA Poultry and Egg Council. All of these things, we have a great history of collaborations. It's just my goal to continue those collaborations and to continue to find opportunities, regardless of what may come at us from a policy or an administration. There's a lot of uncertainty in international markets today. We're sitting here the day before potential tariffs might be placed on Canada and Mexico. We don't know what's coming. I don't want to theorize what is or isn't coming, but it's our job to still look at this as an opportunity to move soy around the globe and feed a hungry population.
Coverage of the 2025 Commodity Classic here in Denver, Colorado is brought to you by Minnesota Soybean Growers Association, Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
A large system of mixed rain and snow is moving through the central and northern plains this morning. A band of rain is stretching from northeast Colorado through central and western Nebraska. It changes to a mix of rain, freezing rain, and snow across central and northeast South Dakota, with rain to the south and east and snow north of a line from Winter to Huron to Milbank. The rain-snow line continues into Minnesota.
Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar expressing deep concerns over the impact of President Trump's proposed tariffs, warning they could have serious consequences for Minnesota's farmers. Speaking ahead of the president's joint address to Congress tonight, she emphasizes the importance of trade stability for the state's agriculture economy.
Canada, especially Minnesota, is a huge trading partner of ours. So I've had a lot of farmers raise that with me, and so he's going to focus on costs and, you know, people being worried about everything from the cost of coffee to eggs to lumber. But this tariff thing is really going to hit, and already is, because of the anticipated tariffs.
Klobuchar also criticized staffing cuts at rural farm service agency offices, arguing they could disrupt critical services for farmers seeking loans and support.
The last thing our farmers need right now is more uncertainty. They already have the uncertainty of input costs, the uncertainty of what's going on around the world, the uncertainty of drought or floods, and they certainly don't need uncertainty by programs they thought they could rely on just suddenly poof going away.
The U.S. Treasury Department will not enforce penalties related to the Corporate Transparency Act beneficial ownership reporting rule. This rule was created to limit financial crimes, but it was seen as a regulatory burden for farmers and small businesses. The Treasury Department also plans to begin rulemaking to limit the scope of this rule to foreign companies.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending February 27th showing 1.35 million metric tons were inspected for export, 16% more than the previous week, 18% more than the same week a year ago. Soybean inspections, 695,000 tons, 21% less than the previous week and 40% less than the same week last year. Wheat inspections, 389,000 metric tons, nearly unchanged from a week ago, 9% more than the same week last year. For the marketing year, corn inspections are 32% ahead of last year's pace, soybean inspections running 9% above last year, and wheat inspections 20% more than a year ago.
Minnesota legislators now have timelines in place for moving bills through the committee process. The first deadline is April 4th for action on bills in the chamber it originated. April 11th is the deadline for major appropriation and finance bills. The second deadline coincides with the annual Easter Passover break. Minnesota Corn Growers Association Executive Director Adam Burr said his organization is taking a guarded approach to the session.
Minnesota Biofuels has been very active in that space as it affects them too. So yeah, hopefully something can come of that. It's great to see such a large tent on that issue and so many groups involved. And hopefully we see some movement on that. Because certainly, as we've been saying, we've done a couple of hearings now on sustainable aviation fuel at both state House and Senate, and the permitting thing comes up. I mean, we can have these tax credits, but we know we need to produce the fuel in Minnesota, and we know with our current permitting system, it makes it hard to do to scale up that production in a quick manner.
The Minnesota House Agriculture Finance and Policy Committee heard testimony on the state's Rural Finance Authority, which provides critical loan programs for farmers. Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson emphasized the importance of continued funding.
When we look at and try to figure out where we're going to run out of money at some point, right now we're projected to run out in December of 2026. So you kind of almost have to play a political game when you're thinking about where do we ask for that, and it's currently not in the governor's bonding bill. A request, which would mean that we would probably need to pass it next year at the latest, or we have had this happen before where we haven't passed it, we have to hold loans and then pass it right away at first week of session. And that's happened many times in my almost 25 years of being here.
Peterson also highlighting the agency's flexibility in responding to agriculture crises.
Yeah, Representative Burkle made a request last week, or about 3 weeks ago, because of avian influenza and AMPV or Metapneuma virus that's affected turkeys and H5N1, to open our disaster recovery loan to allow for those loans. And there has been some interest in that. We actually changed the statute a few years ago to let the board make that decision that a disaster exists and to open that up.
Inside Agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network, with margins getting tighter, producers are looking to cut corners where they can. FMC Regional Technical Manager Gail Stratman emphasized the importance of maintaining strong weed control practices despite financial pressures.
We've got to have good weed control, because the implications of not getting that weed control can really not only affect our yield potential in 2025, but the downstream effects of having more weeds and more weed seed introduced back into that system can have definite cost implications and yield implications in the future. So it's not just about saving money in 2025, although that is important. We've got to make sure that we've got a return on investment, and we're making a profit in 2025. But just to understand that the costs on that can be pretty detrimental.
To maximize efficiency, Stratman recommending using residual herbicides like FMC's Authority brand and layering treatments with Anthemax for extended control. He also highlighting FMC's Xyway fungicide, which when applied with the planter can reduce application costs later in the season.
I mean, just seeing a 5 or an 8 bushel yield loss, which is fairly common when we lose 10 or 20% weed control in some of these operations, that 5 or 8 bushel an acre type yield loss, you're talking now $40 to almost $100 an acre lost revenue trying to save $20 an acre in chemical cost. That really doesn't go the right direction.
Looking at the ag calendar for today, we're seeing a few events going on around the region. Peterson Farm Seed has their Cup of Agronomy meetings coming up. One today at Prosper, at the Peterson Farm Seed location in Prosper. That's at 9 a.m. And then tomorrow in Ashby, Minnesota, at the American Legion at 10. And then coming up on March 10th in Aberdeen at the Dakota Event Center at 2 p.m. All those events, again, the Peterson Farm Seed Cup of Agronomy meetings. Nelson County Ag Day is going on today at the Pekin Community Center. Speakers and a meal sponsored by the Nelson County Crop Improvement. Event is free. Registration is not required. And they'll get started at 10:30 this morning with Dynamic Duo Soybean Diseases, then 11:15 a Crop Outlook. Lunch will be in at noon, and then an update from the National Weather Service at 12:45. How to put up good silage in 1:30, and managing a successful beef AI program at 2:15. Again, that's the Nelson County Ag Day starting at 10:30 this morning at the Pekin Community Center. Taking a look at quotes here this morning, we're looking at Minneapolis wheat in May down 4.25 now at 5.87. July down 3.601. Chicago, May down 7.75 at 5.40. Kansas City, May down 7.75 at 5.54.25. May corn is down 8.25 right now at 4.48. July down 8 at 4.55.75. December corn is down 4.75 at 4.46.5. May soybeans down 14 here at 9.97.5. July down 13.75 at 10.12. And looking at November soybeans now, down 14.25 this morning at 10:04.5. Reporting agriculture's business, this is the Red River Farm Network.